Infinite love. Infinite love. That's what that is, right? That song, what we're about, what we are gathered for. That's the love that lives inside of us, the love that we live inside, that creates music through us, that creates everything through us, right? Yeah, the love that heals, the love that soothes, the love that calms, the love that lifts us up. It's good stuff. Let's just bathe in it. Let's just bask in it, right? Okay, time to go. It's so true. This is unity, right? Love is unity. You know, when somebody asks you if you've been in unity for a while, what's unity about? You know, we all kind of go, oh, wow, how do I encapsulate this? Let me see. What can I say? And then, you know, I think probably 10 out of 10 of us say, it's about love. Is it true? Do you say that? Yeah, because at its essence, that's what it is. That's what we're about, because we are about getting to the essence that lives inside of us, getting to the essence that we live inside, and that is love. And I love, by the way, that we have baby sounds. So welcome. Thank you both for being with us. It was a plant. Oh, man. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says the word infinite means endless. It means limitless. It means limitless or endless space or extent. It means that there's no limit on the size, that it just goes on and on forever, right? That it is impossible to measure. This is love. This is divine love. This is the way we understand it, that it is this infinite presence, this infinite power, this infinite thing that fills our lives, that we all wish for and desire and open to and experience and relish and give thanks for. That's love, right? And we forget. And we have times we aren't feeling the love so much, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about what we do that and what we do to get back in. Because when we get out of the way, love will lead us. When we get out of the way, love will lead us and surprise maybe all of us, even in situations that are full of fear and hate or violence. Jack Kornfields tells this story about something that happened in World War II that demonstrates that point. So during World War II, the American troops were chasing the German troops up the Italian peninsula, and the Germans were blowing up everything in their wake, right? Throw them off to keep them away, to keep safe. And they came to this one place that was immediately recognized as very sacred, and they just couldn't find it in their hearts to blow this thing up. It's the Ponte Vecchio, the bridge over the Arno River in Florence. It's the bridge where 650 years before that time, the 13th century Italian poet named Dante was inspired to write the Divine Comedy. And he was inspired to write that because he fell in love on that bridge. He stood at that foot of that bridge and he saw a woman named Beatrice, who he said was so beautiful that he instantly felt the soul connection and fell in love with her. And then, unfortunately, Beatrice died of the plague shortly after, so he was never able to fulfill the connection of that love, and she became his lifelong muse. So all that creativity that poured forth from him, he said, was a part of this moment of love. And so no matter the nationality, all the people who knew about this bridge could not bear the idea of having it destroyed. It's love itself, right? It's where love happened. It's where creativity flowed from this love. It's historic and beautiful in and of itself. And so the Germans actually radioed the American commander and said, look, if you don't cross Ponte Vecchio, we won't blow it up. And the promise held. The Germans did not blow it up. And not one American troop or any piece of equipment crossed it. That's the power of love. Even in the midst of war, even in our darkest places, even in the most dismal spots of humanity, that love lives and breathes and has its way with us. If you asked any of us, I bet, right before that, will that bridge be spared in the midst of war, I bet most of us would say, no way. But that impossibility, that overcoming, that is love, that is that infinite power of love. So when we say it can't, or it won't, or it's not possible, let's shift our thinking and remember to the power of love, it is possible. It can, it will, if only we get out of the way. That's what blocks the love, right? Is our own mental states, our own lack of spiritual fitness. And so it is working that muscle so that we can remember this truth and stand in this truth and allow this truth and move with this truth that is the power of love that wants to touch every corner of this planet. And it can and it will if we let it. It's our choice always, right? We're always in a choice place. So love cannot be contained by any steely kind of fence that we might imagine something like war to be, or anything else where there is a deep sense of clash or conflict, where there is a sense of weapons present, whether they be actual weapons or use of our hearts or our minds in such a way. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, "I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word." When you think about Martin Luther King's world and what he lived in and what he was trying to bring forth, the power of that statement, "I believe that unarmed truth, that unconditional love will have the final word." I believe that too. Do you? Yeah. That it is about laying down the weapons, opening up the heart, opening up the mind, trusting, allowing, finding safety in God, finding safety in love. So love disarms us and it opens up that limitless flow. And if I could just bottle one little message, you know, and say, like, this is the one message I'd like to give, it would be this, about the immeasurable power of love, about the fact that we cannot escape love, that it's there for, it's everywhere present, and it, despite whatever gymnastics or antics we might do, we cannot escape it. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be with us because we are made of love. It is our essence. It is our truth. So this is it. And not to say that we would consciously set out to avoid love, right? Who does that? But there's all the hurt and the things that happen that cause us to, of course, try to, in the name of what we think might be safer, close down. But if we could know that love cannot be separated from us, if we could really know this message, if we could really live and walk and breathe this message, how different life can be, how much more expansive the good in life can be, the multiplied blessings can be for all. Because we know that when we're hurting, love heals. We know that when we're angry, love soothes or calms. When we're sad, love soothes, encourages, uplifts, that it's there for us in all these different ways. We are made in the image and the likeness of God, so we are made in the image and the likeness of love. We're it. I look in the mirror next time and go, I'm it. This is it, God. This is it, Earth. I'm the love. And what will I do today to be more of it, to share more of it, to step in, to embody the essence of who I've come here to be? But we forget, don't we? We just keep forgetting. We forget when we are in a place of fear. You know what fear stands for, right? Somebody knows. Yes, false evidence appearing real. If you've never heard that before, that's the acronym. And the thing is that when we go back to that, we recognize that so often we are hanging our hats on the false evidence we have created, and then, you know, of course, making it worse by the thoughts we have that fuel that fire. If instead we can realize and remind ourselves, fear is present, and that is false evidence appearing real. Now, fear, of course, sometimes is a very necessary thing in our human life, right? If there was a big hole in the pavement and I was about to step into it, I would go, oh, and that would be a good thing. So there are certain things that, you know, it does help guide us, but we let it guide us way too much is the problem, you see. And we let it get carried away into all these different nooks and crannies of our lives and our relationships. And that's what we want to stop. That's what we want to pay attention to. So this idea of false evidence appearing real is that false evidence then drains all our energy, right? Because we're so caught up in that. We're putting all our energy in that. We're spinning on that. And instead, if we remember, like Mark Twain reminded us, I'm an old man who has known a great many troubles, most of which never happened. Right? So all that storytelling that we do in our minds, most of it's never going to happen. Maybe we could just stop ourselves in the tracks of that and say, you know what? I'm not going to go over that bridge of fear. Because it's probably not all going to happen, this stuff I'm thinking of. Instead, I'm going to go over the bridge of love. Instead, I'm going to make that choice. Fear is just resistant energy. Fear is just the armor that we put on, the defenses that we put up. And when we get more spiritually fit, we just do the work that we all know well to do, we become more aware of our thoughts. We become more aware of what is present. We become more aware that there is love present here. A lot of times we think of hate as the opposite of love, but of course, it's not just hate, right? Because as spiritual beings, we know we need to go deeper than that. What's at the root of hate? Fear, right? Fear is at its root. So we go to the root, right? That's where the healing happens, is at the root. And so the antidote, of course, to fear is love. That's how we heal. If you think about all the things that are happening in our world, when we, you know, I know our hearts break when we hear about the school shootings and I won't name all this stuff because I don't even want to bring that energy in here. But what I want to bring in here is the tools for us to deal with it in such a way that we can bring forth more love, that we can birth this love into the world, that we can bring forth the love that you just talked about that is Christmas. That is the truth of what Christmas is all about, that is stepping into our truth and bringing that in. So when we are facing these things, to not just go, oh, that's hate. Yes, we want to denounce the hate. We want to speak no to the hate. We want to say, not on our watch. This isn't happening for sure. But we don't stop there. Then we go to the root and go, what's going on with this fear? How can I pour my love antidote onto this fear and help raise up those who are hurting? Because behind those kinds of horrible, tragic acts is an inner child that is screaming for help. And it is through our love that we might give the help that is needed and save a lot of lives in so doing. So it is through this power, you know, we can't get through it, just to belabor this analogy one more time. We can't get rid of the weeds unless we pull them up by the roots, right? And so to give you a lot of these analogies and hope that throughout your week you might remember or think and look at the weeds and go, oh yeah, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is that we see in our daily lives that we might, as we're pulling those, oh yeah, look at this, look at me. I'm pulling up the fear. I'm getting rid of the fear in the world. I'm giving Mother Earth the blessing of love that she deserves, right? So it's that kind of consciousness that we bring into our everyday acts that makes a difference. It makes a far bigger difference, I think, than we might ever know. The moments that, you know, Felicia McBarton, our ministerial assistant, she waters all the plants here, but she doesn't just water the plants. She's like their fairy godmother. She talks to the plants. She loves on the plants. I mean, I watch her, and there's just this reverie of love and communication going on. And so they just kind of stand up and spread out, you know, and go, oh, Felicia's here to love on me, you know? She's not just dumping water on them. It's that, right? It's how we show up. It's how we do what it is that we do. Most of the time, it's easy for us to love those who love us back, right? But what about what Jesus called us to? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute others. Love those who persecute others, right? That's the call. That's the call of Christmas. It's a high calling. It's not just, oh yeah, we all sing songs and we feel good, and it is that, but it's also the high spiritual calling. So year after year, we get the opportunity to say again, I step into this high calling of Christmas. I step into this idea of a Christ in me, a spirit in me that is all loving, that is universal good, that is constantly flowing love. And I say yes to that. I say yes to being that. I say yes to God. I say yes, show me the way to be the love in the world. Show me the way to allow love to permeate my being wherever I go, and to lift me up in turn, because automatically we are blessed in turn by that which we agree to say yes to be the love in action, to be in sacred service in the world. Yes, right? Mother Teresa used to say, her work was loving Christ in all his distressing disguises. It's just so beautiful, right? You think about what that, I mean, we don't even know the half of what that woman went through, right? To do the kind of devoted work that she did. But that's the way she always saw it. I read once that she heard the call, she received communication from the way that she would say it, she received communication from Jesus Christ, and then never heard another word, and off she went to India for the rest of her life based on that single call. And that's what she did for the rest of her life, just loving Christ in all his distressing disguises. One of the reasons why we close down, I think, or keep the doors tight in love is because we're afraid of losing, right? We're afraid of the pain. We don't want to suffer the loss. We don't want to go through the hurt. But as Alfred Lord Tennyson once said, it is better, tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And we all know that, right? We all know that from our experiences. That when we lose, when we grieve, it is an act of loving. And only that, and only more love, and only a new way of experiencing. Love makes us stronger, and sometimes we think that love will break us. But it's not possible, right? It's only the heart breaking open wider to allow more love. So where we feel that resistance, we can just relax into it and realize, ah, the mother love is having its way with me again, opening me further so that I can be a greater channel for this love in the world. Maybe you've had those feelings before. You've loved somebody so much, and then you have that thought that comes right afterwards. Oh my gosh, what if they die? What if I lose them? You ever have that feeling, that worry? Yeah, of course. Of course we do. It's a testimony to how much we love, how big we love, how intensely we love, how courageously we love. And yeah, those people will probably move on too, and we will get through it, right? How many people have moved through a loss, and they're still here, and you're still living and breathing and loving, right? Yeah, of course. That's life, and it's hard. There's no doubt of that. So, but love transcends everything, even bodily death, right? There is always that presence of love, that heart connection. It is always there. It is always present. That person cannot be gone from us. Just as God cannot be gone from us, the divine energy cannot be gone from us, the love cannot be gone from us. It is always here. It is always available to be tapped. And if we're all stuck up in our head saying, no way, just remember this journey from head to heart is only 18 inches. It's a pretty easy journey. Just drop in and then allow, right? Just breathe into it. Just allow. Romans 8:38 says, neither death nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. So often we are misguided in love. We get confused between the channels, the many different ways in which love can come to us and we can love out, and the source of our love. We get confused and we think the channel is the source. And so then, of course, when something's going on with the channel, we think, oh my God, my whole source of love is leaving. But of course, that's just because we've got the two things swapped. And so if we then breathe into that and remember, ah, the ever-loving, all-knowing presence of God is my source of love, and it never ends, and there are a bazillion different channels of ways in which I can receive and give love. And we move into that space, then we can relax into that truth and let the love then flow once again. We miss love's presence when we think, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to miss this, or we pine for something or someone who has left our lives who we have loved, right? If we focus there, then it's a choice. Yeah, we can choose to focus there, but how fun is that? How happy is that, right? We're probably going to be miserable in that space. So at some point, if we can open ourselves to this truth of the true source of our love, we will be opened once again to the many channels that have been standing at the door waiting to love us. We just couldn't see because we shut it out. Have you ever experienced chasing a small child around and saying, I'm going to get you? It is like the most joyful, squealing kind of experience, right? They love that. It's universal, it seems. Every child I've ever done this to, that usually I have a little bit of rapport with, I don't just walk around doing it to children, but otherwise it could put us right in the camp of fear, right? But, you know, it's like somebody they love, right? Or somebody they know, and play is love for children often anyway. So you're playing with them in this way. Love is chasing them and saying, I'm going to get you. And then, you know, they give in to be tackled and kissed and hugged and touched and held and laughed with. I mean, what greater thing is there, right? So if we can only become like children, as we were beckoned to do, right? If we become like children, then we enter this kingdom of heaven. We enter this kingdom of love. If we become like children and we remember this truth, love is chasing you. Love is playing a game of chase with you all the time. And so if you just remember, then you begin to squeal with laughter and recognize that once love gets you, once love tackles you, love is just going to kiss you and hug you and love you and hold you up and tell you how much it loves you. So play the game. That's the game of love. Not that other one we hear about all the time, right? About, oh, lamenting my lot, you know? He, she, they don't love me, you know? Actually, I have a friend that had an experience of that. Because, you know, it is about courageous vulnerability, love is. About being honest about how we feel. And my friend went out on a date. It was going to be the second date. With this woman named Milan, and my friend, her name is Annette, said, I don't know if she likes me, and I'm really nervous because I really, really, really like her. And at the end of the second date, Milan said, I love you, and I will always love you so very much whether you love me back or not. I mean, that's just like, right? Let me just tell you the truth, to be courageous and vulnerable with the love I am feeling right now. And to know this, that it's okay if you don't return it. That's how divine love loves us, right? That I can't stop it. The love just moves through me. It's here. I'm feeling it. And nothing is going to stop it, even you not returning it back to me in a romantic scenario. That's powerful. And that willingness to be courageous in such a way, to be courageously vulnerable, is a part of what we are called to do in bringing forth this love and being this love. Mastering love, it's a tough thing to do, isn't it? I mean, it's not tough to do. It's a lifetime's work, really. It's a thing that we say, you know, if you're looking for your purpose in life and you're still kind of flummoxed about that, just make it mastering love. I mean, that'll keep you busy. If you believe in reincarnation, probably for many lifetimes to come, right? Because when we master love, we deepen our understanding. When we master love, we just keep on opening. We keep on dealing with and dancing with the fear and the resistance and all this stuff, but becoming more and more skillful, honing our skills at this, honing our ability to more quickly move into the abundant presence that is love and to use it and to allow it to move through us. Maya Angelou says, love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, it leaps fences, it penetrates walls to arrive at its destination. It cannot be walled in, it cannot be fenced. I can't say it enough because we forget and we keep building fences and walls. But to remember that truth. So we can love then when it's challenging, like Mother Teresa. We can love when in this way that is courageous vulnerability. That Latin word for courage is cor, which means heart. So courage is a process of the heart, right? Like my friend's date Milan. I will love you no matter what. In return, that's what love says to us over and over again. And I'm going to get you. That too. Kate Wolfe saying, give yourself to love if love is what you're after. Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, now Tyler's going to be singing it all day. I've been singing it a lot in my head too. I understand. We can ask ourselves in any given situation, allow this guiding question to be ours, to hold it, to be our practical spiritual work. Am I helping or hindering love right now? Ask yourself that in any situation. When something gets tough, when something is flowing, whatever it may be, just stop for a moment throughout your day, maybe set your alarm like Louise did with the gratitude. And when it goes off, just ask yourself, am I helping love or hindering love's flow right now? Because our work, of course, is to help it. And if we are hindering, then we can adjust accordingly and become, once again, love's helper. It's so simple, right? When we allow the generous flow of love to move through us and to move as us, we bless ourselves, we bless the direct recipient of our love, and we bless the world with a greater balance of love given over to it. So every time we have an act of love, a thought of love, that is what we're doing. We're blessing the world in addition to the one that we think we are blessing, the person who is the recipient or the whatever, the being, the sentient being that is the recipient, because that is part of our love too, isn't it? So let's keep loving, right? That's a key takeaway step. Let's just keep on loving. And as we keep on loving, we'll love through the challenging times. We'll love through the times of loss. We'll love in the face of hate if we keep on loving. When we keep on loving, we can keep our hearts in this willingness to be vulnerable, with this kind of courage to speak the truth, to be the truth, and to remember always the true source of our love, that endless, infinite space of love that is available to us to tap at any time. Let's help, not hinder, divine love's flow. So let's know this truth together. Let's speak it. Let's know it in our bones and the cells of our hearts. Let's really like let it take hold so we can breathe it and live it and walk it and be it together. Let's say it together. I am flowing through life in infinite love. And so it is.